here.
Discussions on the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Registered representative. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investments Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Bettendorf Financial Group and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Joining us now on the Dolph Ford AD in the Morning Show, he's a ninja of numbers. He is the Falstaff of finance. Punch him in the gut. Financial advice comes out of his butt. On Halloween, he sometimes goes by Doug Weird. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Baron of Bettendorf Financial Group, Mr. Doug Weird. What's going on, Doug?
Yeah, Weird was my nickname all through school until I had about, I don't know, until I hit my growth spurt.
Yeah, right? Then you're like, oh, he's too big to make fun of. Forget it.
Yeah, the nickname changed from weirdo to steer for some reason when I hit 6'4". I don't know.
Coming at you, buddy. Good stuff. Well, of course, the big bill or whatever got passed on Friday or signed into law on the 4th of July. So now, and got a good story from Patrick over the weekend out of the Wall Street Journal. What does this mean? Because, I mean, the first thing you read in the story is really we're not doing tax cuts. We're just keeping them. You know, right. We already had them in place from 2017. Right. We're keeping them. And so taxes aren't going to go up. I know, let's see, a lot of the credits for like solar and EVs and all that stuff, that's all going away. Going to be a little harder to get Medicaid now, but it's not like it's going away completely. I think the people that are supposed to, should get it. It's just going to be some different work requirements and stuff, which, you know, people can throw shade on me for saying this, but I kind of felt like it was getting a little too easy to just stick your hand out around here.
Well, they almost doubled the number of people on Medicaid over the last 4 years.
So yeah.
All we're trying to do is reduce the trajectory of the number of people covered. I mean, and that's the thing. If you look at the charts, if you will, and charts can be deceiving, but this chart's pretty obvious. And again, charts, as I said a million times, are horrible for radio. But if the chart looks like something
here,
crazy,
look at this chart.
It's this trajectory that's going along, and then all of a sudden you hit about 4 years ago, and boom, the chart zips up to the far right, and it's like, wait a minute. Why did we suddenly dump multi-millions of people onto the Medicaid rolls, and they bumped up the percentage of Medicaid reimbursement to hospitals? So that's going to be reversed to some extent, as you said, yes. And that's the thing that a lot of my leftist friends have jumped on me about right away is the huge cuts in Medicaid. But a lot of that was fraud. That was, as you say, people that should have a work requirement.
Yeah. It got real easy there for a while. And so they're really not, I mean, they're just undoing what was done in the last 4 years by whoever. We don't even know. I saw a story about the side note here, side tangent, the whole auto pen thing. There's a lot of controversy about who actually ran it the last 2 years of Biden's presidency.
Yes.
And that's some stuff as the American people of our country. We need to keep an eye on stuff like that. But anyway, what else did you guys see in there that could be impactful, Doug?
Well, I wanted to start with consistency. At least this lets us as planners, and I'm going to be biased here, but for our purposes, us trying to help clients, we have some consistency because everything was set to expire at the end of this year. I mean, we were going to have a problem starting next year because everything that had been done was going to be undone, and we were going to back to an old tax code that was going to affect everyone, not just the wealthy. It was going to affect everyone dramatically negative. A lot of people were suddenly going to have to start filing taxes that haven't been filing taxes for years. But a few things to start off with, and this affects particularly those that are in agriculture in our area that have a lot of dirt. The estate tax code was going to revert back to pre-2017, and we were at roughly $13 million exclusion. That is, when you died, $13 million of assets could pass to your family without estate taxes. That was going to go back down to $7 million. Yeah. It was going to get cut almost in half. Now it's going to be a level $15 million. So people that have a lot of farm ground or a lot of assets were going to be affected by it. So that's one thing that, from an estate planning standpoint, it helps me because I work with a lot of people with a lot of money, of course. But it also, some of the promises he made during the election are coming true. No tax on overtime. Well, it's no tax on overtime as long as you make less than $150,000 a year. So it really affects the lower people less than 150. It doesn't help higher paid people. No tax on tips. That also is come true. It's up to 25,000, but again, it's got a means test. People with higher earnings aren't going to benefit from it. It's mainly people in the lower
middle
income
class.
Levels
yeah.
will benefit from
your,
it.
Your middle class, the people funding the entire country and a good part of the world, the American middle class.
In my opinion, yeah. I mean, I had some people screaming at me that, oh, this person makes $18,000 a year and they're going to get a, they're going to have a $180, they're going to have $180 tax, like they were going to get pay more in taxes. I said, no, they're just, they've paid nothing in taxes. They're not going to get money now that they used to get free money. They're not going to get that $180. So some of the, that handout credits, but in the child tax care credit is being frozen at 2000 instead of, or it's being bumped to 2000 and then it will adjust. To, it'll be indexed to inflation. That's never been indexed before. So they're starting to index a few things, too, that had never been indexed in the past. That's going to be helpful for people, too, to be able to say, hey, I can get a $2,000 tax credit this year, but next year it's going to be $2,200. And, oh, by the way, next year it's going to be bumped up. It's going to be tested and means tested to inflation. They are also limiting, however, charitable deductions. So people that are on the higher end, higher income, if they make more than $300,000, they're going to be a test. They're going to be limited to how much they can give away to charity. So they're taking a few things away, too, to the higher income people. I've already looked at that, thinking about, okay, my high income people that donate a lot of money, how can I help them donate money and still get the deduction, of course. So I'm doing some of that, too. What else did I see in there that was... One thing that I noticed is by fixing this, it was good. Well, I told you about people having to file taxes. It was right now about 10% have to do itemized deductions and such. It was going to bump back up to something like 23%, but this will keep it at that 10% level. So there'll be far less tax filers having to do itemized returns.
Gotcha.
I also saw people on the lower end will be able to donate to charity, and they'll be able to itemize. So even if you don't itemize your taxes, you'll still be able to donate up to $1,000 per person, $2,000 per couple to charities, and get to tax deduct it, whereas in the past you haven't been able to take a tax deduction for giving to charity. They're trying to bring that back.
Well, I mean, as a, from what you're telling me here, as a, you know, just a regular Joe Sixpack who lives in a middle class household with a wife and too many kids, this doesn't sound that bad. Now, I know in the media it's, oh, everything's terrible, people are going to die, blah, 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 blah. But
right.
I don't.
Well, that's what I was looking for. I didn't see anything that egregious. If anything, I saw, to me, some fixes. Now, I did see. Some, as you said, the EV money and stuff is going away by the end of 2028. And there is something coming up. I saw September 30th of this year is the end of it. There was some cutoff. I forget what it was. There's so much in there. But there was something that we have to pay attention to for September 30th. I'll revisit it and I'll know it again. But it was something I read that's going to change this year. They've already cut it off midstream, and that's kind of unusual.
Well, you know, the thing with the EVs, now the solar panel thing, I know, you know, taking away the residential kickbacks on that are obviously going to slow things down and hurt the solar industry quite a bit, which they've been booming for a while. But the EVs, people already stopped buying them. Everybody who wanted one got one.
Yeah,
I mean, look at all the sales in the last 6 months of EVs. Ever since the winter thing happened last year where even the charging stations weren't working and stuff, I mean, everybody right. north of the Mason-Dixon line's like, I'll pass. But then, and again, maybe on the coast and in the south, they become more of a prominent thing. But you just, I mean, they're trying to give them away around here because people don't right. want them. Because if they did want them, they already got one, you know? And so I don't know, you know, if that's that big of a deal or not. Maybe, again, in the south and on the coastlines. But around here in the Midwest, the hardy Midwesterners sort of already passed on the EV thing.
But see, you've got, you know, I spend some of my time in Colorado, and what I see out there is the economics and what's going on in I'll pick on California right now. $4.79 is the average price for a gallon of gas out there because they just bumped up the gas tax again. And if you can get a subsidy on an EV that basically makes it, like I see ads in Colorado for zero down payment, $250 a month for an electric vehicle. It's pretty cheap. They make it almost economically force you to buy an EV. But I agree with you, around here and around most of the rest of the country, it's not being accepted. There's a lot of EVs sitting on lots, not selling.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And then what I see out there, too, is there's so many apartment dwellers, and they have no place to plug in. So you'll see over the weekend, you'll see these EV charging stations full, and there's a line of cars waiting to plug in.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not only sitting plugged in for an hour to charge, you're waiting an hour to plug in to charge. I mean, no way could I handle that.
There's a gas station in Fulton that just opened. It's down by the ball fields by the North Bridge. And it's been open and closed a bunch of times through the years, but it looks like they did a pretty nice remodel on it. But it had $4.50 a kilowatt hour listed on the sign. I went by there a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, and I didn't stop to see exactly what was going on, but that's what it said, $4.50 a kilowatt hour. I'm like, how does that work?
I'm going to have to start paying attention to that. I've never seen one with a sign that shows what it cost.
I had never seen that either. And I didn't even know. I thought some of them were free I really don't know. I don't know a whole lot about EVs. They have some charging stations, I think, in Sterling Rock Falls now. But for up until like last year, there was only one charging station in our entire county next to Dairy Queen and Morrison on Route 30. That was it.
I'll be.
The whole county. But now we got one over there in Fulton, apparently. And like I said, I think I know there's a few up in Sterling Rock Falls area. So, I mean, maybe we're just slow Midwesterners. We're slow to adjust to this EV thing, but I just don't want it. I don't care. You know, like I don't drive that far to work every day. I got a pretty short commute, and I don't know. It's just not, I like driving a truck. So, and I know there's EV trucks out there, but I'd love to find one that doesn't look like a doorstop, like the Cybertruck. You know, if we're going to go that route. Patrick Larkin texted us, Doug, the EV thing, that's what expires at the end of September.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I knew there was a September one that expired, and I was like, you better get it. You better get on quick. And I know that's going to affect sales to some extent, but as we both said, there's a huge supply of them sitting on the lots, and one company's got, what I saw, 700 days worth of sales or something like that. Ouch. I mean, if you're sitting on stuff almost 2 years, you better slow down your production.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they have. I mean, GM and Ford have both drastically cut their production of EVs because they're not selling. They're just not. I mean, they did at first because everybody who wanted one got one again, but it's like, here we are. Right. So.
Other things in the bill that I saw, the main thing is consistency for everybody. You're going to know what the rules are going to be going forward. And as you said, there's nothing too drastic in it. I had ahead of time a few people that were screaming, oh, these people are going to pay more and they're going to pay more. I've not seen any parts of the bill where people's tax bills are going to go up. I can't see currently. I haven't read all 800 pages of the bill. I probably will scan through most of it, but I want to do that on a big screen because my eyes are getting old and I don't like to do it on a small screen. So I'll probably do it at my big screen in my office and go through most of the bill. But from what I'm seeing, it's consistency. It's a lot of what was promised. There are some limitations. How they're paying for it is they're taking back some things on higher paid people. But otherwise, I think it's going to be, it cracks me up. The Captain Chaos is calling it a big, beautiful bill. So that's what they're calling it. I guess you got to call it something.
Yeah.
There is a Trump account. Oh, that's one thing that somebody asked me about this weekend. There's something they're calling it the Trump account, and I do like that. And they've expanded 529 rules, too. So 529 are education rules, and they're going to allow money to be pulled out of 529s for more vocational schools. It's not just college. It's more meant for, and there's been some of that, but they've expanded the number of vocational schools that it can be used for. As an example, I have a young man that's becoming a sheriff's deputy in the state of Iowa, and there's a school for that. I don't know if you knew that, but
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. You go to school for that. And the school he's going for is not accredited, so we can't get money out of his 529 on a tax-favored basis. to pay for it. If he was in one of 17 other states, it's accredited and you could pay for it. So more stuff like that's going to be available, more trade schools, more learning, more classes, more things that money could be pulled out for those children and those kids that it's appropriate for, you know, that aren't college bound but are bound for something else. So I think that's a great thing. But these Trump accounts could be also used for a down payment or the start of a new business. So you can put money into a, they're calling it Trump accounts, of course. And the Trump account is up to $5,000 and money goes into it. It grows tax sheltered. And, you know, let's say one of your youngest one, the blonde bomber, right?
Yep.
Let's say she gets out of school and she says, Daddy, I want to start an ice cream shop that sells ice cream cones, and it's going to be mobile, and I want to start that business. You could pull money out of this Trump account, and you could use that to start your business.
Hmm. And well, that's cool. I thought that was cool.
Gotta like, mm-hmm. It seems to me like there's a lot of I'm not saying it's all positive, but there's a lot of positives here for the middle class and go-getters, people who want to start a business. You know, they're supporting the middle class and small business, yep. Which is good because yep. That's the demographic that supports the whole country.
That's what it's geared towards. It's definitely geared towards that. And what bothers me is I hear the negative about, oh, it's helping the wealthy. And I'm like, everything I've read in there's not much that helps the wealthy. The only thing that helps the wealthy is that estate tax, and that the good news on that is it's been flexible every single year. There's been changes in the estate tax, and it's been moving around for years. It's nice to just have some consistency with that. But that's the only thing that I've really seen helping the wealthy. They say, oh, it helps the wealthy, helps the wealthy. I don't see many things in there. Many things limit it. The way they're paying for this tax for tips is they're taking things back from the wealthy. They're taking back the charitable deduction. That's the one thing that's kind of got me scratching my head. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to find a workaround for that. Patrick and I'll probably come up with something, or I got a whole crew of people, but we'll come up with a way to make those donations. But the good news is I do have some lower paid people, some lower income people that have been mad that the money they give to their church offering plate they can't deduct it anymore. And it kind of annoys them. Like, why shouldn't I get a deduction? So right. Some of that's coming back.
Okay. Well, like I said, I'm not offended, by any, the solar thing. That's too bad. Obviously they're moving a different direction with energy, right, wrong or otherwise. Someone's finally doing something for the middle class. And that instead of just squishing them and squeezing them for more tax dollars, this is nice. This is something good to see, I think.
I think so, too. And, you know, look, I try to approach things in a positive light. I had it thrown at me, but I was driving back last week from Colorado, and I had a number of messages from people. Oh, this is horrible. This is a horrible tax bill. How could they pass this, Doug? And I'm like, I don't think it's that horrible. I haven't read everything about it, but what's so horrible about it? Well, I read that people making $18,000 a year are going to pay more in taxes. I'm like, well, how do you know that? Unless you've read the bill or you look at it, where are you getting that from? A lot of it was just what I call fear-mongering and propaganda, and that bothers me. It drives me crazy with the constant fear-mongering. I spend a lot of my time, we spend a lot of our time dispelling lies, and it's very, very frustrating.
Yeah.
Stuff that's said on the news, well, on television and radio.
Right. Well, that's where you need to send them a brief on what the Smith-Mund Act is and how slanted all of our media is now, because they can be. So,
it's so frustrating because I have to then prove, I'm like, no, that's not going to affect you. Here's what the law says. Well, I heard on MS, you know, whatever, that it's going to say this. I go, that isn't what it says.
They got what they wanted. They got you to click on something, so now they can use you as an advertising, you know, like, hey, we had one more click. So,
right, they got with the click, and they got their goal. Now I have to spend the next 20 minutes, you know, proving to you that that's not true. But I happily do it, but it is a little frustrating.
So it goes, my friend. So it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Doug, another great chat today. Thanks for kind of unpacking this big bill that passed Friday and kind of giving us the inside scoop. I'm sure we'll have some tidbits going through. Moving forward, and we're starting to see kind of a resilient economy here. Maybe we'll jump on that next Monday.
Yeah, and I apologize. I read through most of the tax bill, but there's so many little pieces, and I'll have more details as we go forward.
Love it. Appreciate it, Doug. You have a great week, my friend.
Thanks, and you too, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
See you, Doug. All right, there he goes, Doug. We are Bentendorf Financial Group. We got a disclaimer it.
Discussions on the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Registered representative. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investments Research Advisors Incorporated. A registered investment advisor, Bentendorf Financial Group, and Cambridge are not affiliated.